Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Deacon, our son!
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, no, I got me some. Well, I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode... I don't even know. Is it the first episode of 2021? I think it is.
Yeah.
It's definitely my first episode.
It is our first episode, and that is the voice of Trill Bonds, episode 321. Back. Trill.
I went remote.
I went to the
middle of nowhere, just got away.
He's in the Badlands.
Yep. And it was nice, but I thought I was going to get more cell reception than I actually did. So ended up having to punt on some things. But these guys covered it. I appreciate that. I will say very hard, the whole digital detox thing. Very, very fucking hard.
You asked us at one point, like, what did I miss? Which is like something someone says when they wake up from like a 6-hour nap, like, oh, what sports event? That was like coma. 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. It was nice, but you have to get. So I forgot to pack my Nintendo Switch, right? So I was like, oh, I can do it at first. I can just be alone with my thoughts. And then like 3 hours later, I'm like, oh fuck. Oh, I started like reading, you know, shampoo bottles and stuff. And then I remembered I had my Switch like 6 days in or whatever and started replaying Breath of the Wild, which was a lot of fun. So I'm back. It's nice to be back on the pod, as the kids say, back on the podcast. The youths always have this thing. They say, hey, man, are you back on the podcast? I say, yeah, I am.
Yeah, a lot has happened since we were last had a pod. I mean, two of our three Browns made the fucking playoffs. It's a complete shit show now because no head coach and stuff. But I'm very happy about that. Colts got in. Tenjack's quarterback is very good.
I'm excited.
And they
about
fired
the
coach.
They did fire the coach. Now they're interviewing Jason Garrett, so everything's good. Yeah. Yeah. PG Keen.
You can't keep fucking getting away with it.
Him and Adam Gase is going to be like Alabama's head coach or offensive coordinator now.
No, it's also like Lane Kiffin. Just some guys get 10,000 opportunities continuously. I don't really get it. The Colts, I'm excited about the Colts. I think they're looking at the start of a long period of success with their young upstart franchise quarterback in place at the helm, getting him to the playoffs the first year of the franchise. Like, gosh, like that's really good for a first year. I hadn't heard of the guy before, but he's done really well.
Crazy throwing motion, that new whippersnapper, Phil. Yeah, so that happened. I tried playing a video game. I lugged my PS4 all the way to Texas. Bag was over the fucking limit, too. That was stupid. That was the first regret. I was like, I should not have fucking brought this thing. As they're like, sir, you're at 51 pounds.
Do you pay the fee or you try to rearrange your bag at that point?
Well, I did have the dog. I had the dog, and like, I'm not a big airport complainer, and shout out to people working in airports right now, because it, I mean, I know they're not nurses and doctors, but they're right there with just millions of people traveling. And so it cannot be a fun job. However, this one person was really being a fucking asshole to me. It was 51 pounds. I had a bag in one hand, a dog in the other hand. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to. And because I had a dog, I would have to have gone all the way back to the other side of the terminal to the service counter to pay for it. And so I was like, I'll pay for it. Like, I don't care. They go, no, you can't pay for it here. And finally someone stepped in and was like, let him put the fucking bag on the plane. Like, it's 51 pounds.
I was like 3 pounds over one time, and I was traveling alone with my child. And I paid the fee because I literally cannot rip open this bag. And it was like pre-COVID. So she wasn't quite a toddler yet. So she wasn't as like nimble on her feet, but it would have been a bad parenting moment. I made the right choice there.
PS5 is grossly overweight. I've been lugging it back and forth on weekends to New Jersey, and it is no less than 50 pounds on its own. It is so fucking heavy, and it's frustrating. And it's the way it's shaped. Like, the PS4 is like at least flat. You can almost even fit it, I feel like, in like a laptop like space in a backpack. You can't do that with PS5. PS5 is so fucking clunky and oblong.
I hadn't moved somewhere or gone somewhere with the PS4 in a long, long time. And I think it's because of the vents on the side. Like, so I went underneath my computer at home, and I unwired everything. It took me a while. And when I picked it up, I forgot how heavy it was. And that was my first regret. I was like, I already unhooked it. It's coming with me. Ended up playing it one fucking day. I downloaded the Star Wars game. Not my type of game. Just not at all. And then I watched a video about somebody comparing it to how it's basically like a playoff of Sekiro, which was an immediate bell in my head of like, I heard these guys talk about Sekiro for 6 months. That's a game I would never play because it's not my alley. And this is apparently just a worse version of that.
We talked about it a lot in the podcast, but I do feel like history has vindicated me a little bit, because everyone was going fucking bananas for that game when it came out. I don't mean like calling it the greatest game ever, but people were like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, the best Star Wars game released in a while. I'm like, yeah, that is true. It is the best Star Wars game released in a while. It's not a good thing though.
That's the big problem, right? Is that it's all relative to how the other Star Wars games that have been released, which were all absolutely shitty. And then that one was just not shitty, and that immediately makes it to us and other Star Wars fans like, oh, this is an amazing game.
I'll never get over the fact that they made a Jedi Archie. This is Jedi Archie.
That was my other takeaway. I didn't know enough about the game, and I have no issue with the actor, Cameron Monaghan. Is that his name?
Yeah, but it's an entirely other actor, which is crazy, but it looks so much like KJ Apa that it drives me up the wall.
There were people speculating, like, maybe he's the Jedi. Maybe he's the Jedi that shows up and gets Grogu. And I was like, that's a video game. Like, I know they've had other video game things, but they put video game things in Mandalorian that had very deep-seated lore. Like, they had been there forever. After playing that game, fuck that. I'm very happy that guy died. I did not like that guy at all.
Can you imagine that Richie Cunningham motherfucker just shows up for Grogu? It's him. 75% of people watching the show is like, who the fuck is that?
I have to learn the lore, though, because actually, a little trivia news for people. Myself, Ken Jack, and Robbie Fox are in the draft pool. If you're a movie trivia fan on YouTube, the Schmodown. We are. That's our names are in the pool. Kenjack, you actually didn't reply to me, so I just put you in the fucking the all movies thing. I assume that was
perfect.
Fine. So Kenjack's in the draft pool for all movies, the geekdom, which is like Marvel, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek, and then just the Star Wars. Robbie Fox and myself are in for Star Wars and the geek stuff. So I'm gonna have to watch Solo again. I'll watch it one time.
Hell yeah.
Whoops. So I ended up just going back and watching all the cutscenes for the Star Wars game. Just going to learn it that way. I was like, I want to know what happened.
Really exciting, but you should have played Cyberpunk like a Chad.
Like me and Trill the Chads.
I was very tempted, but it had gotten so long into my trip that I was like, I'm not going to get it.
I stopped playing it, Trill. I finished the campaign, did like 3 side missions, and then just started playing Cold War Online, which I've gotten much better at. I'm sitting on around a 2 KD. It's pretty good for me.
Those sound pretty solid. Two is actually, yeah.
I'm going to get back into Cyberpunk. I'm going to re-piss myself off again. I'm going to re-inflame. Yeah, just because I got to a point in Breath in the Wild where I just played enough of it in that span of time. I need something else to play, and I got Cyberpunk just sitting there, and God knows I've talked about it enough.
We have discussed Cyberpunk quite a bit. Yes,
true. Sekiro too, to be honest. But here we are talking about it again, like a year later.
I just I can't wait to get back to my penis 2 character.
That fucking game, Sekiro, was. I don't think I've ever regretted a purchase of a video game more, because I did not make it 2 levels deep into that game before quitting out and just deleting it from my download.
No, it's a nightmare of a video game.
It's so fucking bad. It's a good. It's like, I feel like it's good for the audience that really loves those hardcore games, but I'm just not about that at all.
What else? I guess I don't know. That's it. Let's get into our
Jeff. The other day when we thought we were going to record on Sunday, he sent the message. He's like, "We're going to talk about Bean Dad."
Oh yeah.
So I looked up Bean Dad and I was like, okay. And then by the time the episode came around, Jeff was like, "Nobody cares about Bean Dad anymore."
Well, honestly. I was ready to say, I actually kind of typed out what I was going to say about it just to be like, give me some bullet points. It ran its course by Sunday night. I sent it on Sunday morning or Saturday, whenever it happened. And then Sunday night, it had already run its course and was no longer fun. Like it immediately lost its fun because there was like a cancelable element to it. It was also weird. And so then unfortunately, Bean Dad.
Too close to the sun. He had a real Icarus moment, Bean Dad.
Yeah, Bean Dad.
I read the thread and it was weird, but it wasn't like. It was just obviously a guy trying too hard on the internet. That's what it was. And then I started going into it, and like people legit, you know, that's like with it. But that's why everybody's online, right? There's got to be that main character, and that main character has to get theirs. Like that's somebody's at the center of the town square every day, and that's the pleasure that comes from being on Twitter.
Well, now he's going to monetize this and release a can opener or something like that, I'm sure.
I would imagine you'll agree with me. Had he not said beans, though, this is my one take I'll say here. Had he not said beans, I don't think anyone would have cared. If he'd have been like, it was a thing of ravioli or like Chef Boyardee, people would have been like, whatever. But something about beans.
Yeah. What's the moniker Bean Dad?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what it's like. This guy's a Bean Dad, which like, that's pretty funny. But if you examine it at like a 50,000 foot level, like, when I like try to tell, like when I try to think about like all the stuff that went on online when I was like, you know, involved in it. Like, remember the alligator lady tweet? That was the best day on Twitter. So there was a very tragic death at Disney World where a young boy, you know, was killed by an alligator, and somebody made this tweet and they were like, you know, I'm so sick of you know, people's so-and-so. That I don't even care that this young boy was like killed by an alligator, which like was just so full of like callousness and whatever. But you sit back and you think about those things and like trying to explain it. Like, what if I tried to explain it to my wife? She'd be like, "Why do you give a fuck what anyone else says?" I'd be like, "That's not the point of the website. The website's you're supposed to give a fuck about what everyone else says, but pretend not to give a fuck about what everyone else says."
Fucking Bean Dad. Goodbye.
Mr. Bean.
Yes.
He's not in the news, is he?
He is.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, it's on the rundown.
No, it is.
It's on my rundown.
It's a great call. You horseshoe theory yourself.
His PR person, like, fucking do something, Rowan. Just get out there. Like, he had so hot right now.
He had a spicy take. He had a spicy one, which I'm sure we'll talk about soon.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson is on the rundown. This episode brought to you in part, that's unbelievable, brought to you in part by Trifecta Nutrition. That is right.
Hello, DC fandom. I'm Roland Creamer, and I want to talk to you about an exciting new division that I am heading up here at DC Entertainment. The Food Wing. That's right. We here at DC have been listening closely to the critiques by our fans, and we realize that this is one area where we can really get out ahead of Marvel. We know our movies haven't been great, but we think that this will help to make up for our recent shortcomings. catered farm to table, straight from select vendors in Hinckley, California. Wait till you try some of the following. Ham of Steel, Wonder Woman, Wonder Womango Shrimp, oh, Suicide Squaw, Chicken Patty Jenkins, General Cod, I'm the Meatloafer, baby, Henry Cavill Cutlet, the Mash, the Potatoes. I didn't get that one. I'm just reading the copy for the Cyborger. Jason Momoa waffles. Amber Curd, Harley Quinter squash. Penne Affleck with Alfredo sauce. For the low, low price of.
Instead of that, how about this? How about this delicious stuff instead? From Trifecta, the best meal prep on earth. All their meal plans created by chefs and nutritionists to help people get into the best shape of their lives. We got a box of this stuff. Fantastic. I ordered it to my parents' house who freezer space in during the holidays, not a lot. I was like, whoops. But we ate a handful of them. You don't have to suffer to eat healthy. You know, they're convenient. They save time rather than having to spend hours meal prepping every week. Help you stick nutritional goals and science-backed nutrition. All Trifecta's meals allow, they follow scientific nutritional principles, quality food, never frozen, fresh, farm to fork, farm to your table, organic produce, gluten-free, meat that is animal welfare level 5, the highest possible. No waste of time cooking or cleaning. Just eat, heat it up, healthy, good to go. Meal prep athletes even use here. They'll fit your lifestyles, vegan, paleo, keto, more. Trifecta has an app to help you track your meals and fitness, which is fantastic, by the way. Any tracking is a big help. And a community for Trifecta customers to support their progress. Shop meal plans get 40% off. That's fucking huge. Wow, this fucking holy shit. Somebody's dropped a fridge outside of where I'm recording in the office. Well, they just dropped the refrigerator. Holy shit.
Go look at it. Go grab the mic. Give us the rundown of what's going on. Like what's on the ground.
It's gone now.
The fridge is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Someone dropped a fridge and then picked it up already. Yeah. And picked it up already, and there's nothing.
Yeah, it was an empty fridge. But you won't have an empty fridge if you get Trifecta 40% off. Meal code LIGHTS, LIGHTS, your meal prep code right there. Go to Trifecta, TRIFECTA, nutrition.com/LIGHTS for this exclusive offer. All right, we're going to do kind of a different style news because I haven't sent the lads any of the news.
Omakase.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot Death's of news because right? we haven't done class. News in a while. We've had a pod in a while. WandaVision, 9 episodes premiering next week, the 15th or 16th of the Friday is, and 2 episodes on the first day.
I like that. A lot of people have been doing that now. A lot of new streaming services, they'll drop like 2 or 3, and then it'll be like, yeah, you get a little mini binge, you know, a little bit of a mini binge, and then you get back into the episodic format. And I actually enjoy that. I think that's a good way of doing sort of streaming going forward.
It gives you kind of a bigger taste. And I think Mandalorian, I think they knew with Mandalorian too, like it's fucking Star Wars, right? Like it's Star Wars. The first episode, they had a baby Yoda. Like it was easy. This people are more skeptical of. It's the first Marvel show. It doesn't have the Captain America, the Winter Soldier. It's lesser characters in terms of probably popularity. Smart to drop more than one, especially because the format is weird as fuck. So I think now you're gonna get a sense that it's gonna change up. I am a fan of this. Mm-hmm. The more I see of this, the more excited I get because it kind of gets wackier. All the trailers are even stranger and stranger, and I'm excited to see how this plays out. I think. Ahead,
do you think this is going to have like a big something happening in episode 1? Just going to get people talking like Baby Yoda did? I think they're going to design it that way. It seems to be the safe way to design these TV shows, right? It just you got to get the buzz going, or maybe not.
I mean, people are going to come maybe, to you regardless. I'm curious what TV show style we see. Like, do they go from old to new, or do they jump around? Do we get like I Love Lucy? Then do we get like the Office theme? I don't know. I'm excited for it, though.
If we get 2 to start, maybe we'll get a mix of both. Maybe like so that like it doesn't turn anyone off to the point of like I'm not going to make this appointment television. You know?
Yeah. Like you're not going to watch like I guess that'd be funny too if like if they do two older ones. You're like, I don't want fucking old ass shit, black and white. I'm excited for it though. I'm just excited for Marvel content in general, but I think this one again, this is like a big first test to see if this will work, and then they're gonna really start rolling out. It's kind of never ends. Like once this one starts, they're just never ending. They're just gonna be continuous for years now. Star Wars, a new multimedia sort of franchise. They said it was only gonna be books, and then they announced a show. They announced a series, which we talked about a few weeks ago, The High Republic. There's a couple books that launched today. Got me very close to ordering books today. I didn't do it because I just don't think I'm going to read it. I think I'm going to wait for someone to read it and recap it on YouTube. And I hate
the the Jedi's are sativa and the Sith are indica.
Wow, what a reference. We don't even have a 3-chi ad today.
Get it? Because it's the High Republic.
Yeah.
that sounds like a fucking bong shop that isn't an old Radio Shack outside of a dying mall.
Yeah. Right next to the T Republic.
The High Republic.
Are either you going to check this out or is it going to be like a YouTube recap? Because you're going to have the Star Wars intent is going to go up. You're not going to have Mando. You're not going to have anything else. You're like, I got to have a little Star Wars content.
This is like for me, after I read the Game of Thrones books, after watching the series, like I wanted to learn more about the lore. And I just watched all these like YouTube videos about like the other books and stuff that I didn't get my hands on. And that was like really cool and informative. And people put a lot of work into that. So I'd much rather do that than half-assedly read a book over the course of like 6 months on the subway trips for like 15 minutes at a time. So I think that's a better way of doing it. Shout out to Quibi.
I'll probably consume the content via what gets posted on the Star Wars speculation Reddit. My only place for Star Wars discussion. Some of the most level-headed Star Wars fans on the internet as well.
Yeah, I'm sure nothing, it'll only go swimmingly, this entire thing.
It's ambitious, right? It's what we want. That's what we want out of Star Wars. We want them to, we just want more like lightsabers and shit, right? So just someone that riff off cool. me. Just they keep do. Going. Yeah, what else do you want? Just riff. We're like a Groundlings improv troupe. Jeff, what do you want out of Star Wars? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's how you do improv. Ken Jack.
Yeah, absolute yes.
Okay, this is improv, baby. We can make a Melissa McCarthy movie out of this.
Or a Steven Soderbergh yacht movie.
Oh.
Imagine us interacting with Meryl Streep in any way whatsoever.
I would just love to improv against Meryl Streep. Like, I wish I was cast in the role as, like, her nephew or whatever it was. And I would just be like...
So, in this... You get corn cobbed for this part of it. What's that?
When she
get milkshake ducked.
When she like was like, "What are you doing on the boat?" And I'm like, "Just fucking getting just virgin chatted or whatever." I'm just getting incelled by this reporter or this book person. I don't know.
She would need interpreters.
Nah, she would get it. She's a professional. I could go toe-to-toe with Meryl Streep in acting any day.
Maybe these days. She's just on a not a good tear. Maybe you... Well, actually, you're a better singer than her, and all she wants to do is sing. So you could definitely go toe-to-toe with her.
Her creative process is figuring out what she can sing and then ordering glasses from Warby Parker. Seems to be it.
Next thing. Michael Keaton. We got in a fucking debacle on this one. There was a
not
score.
Our fault.
I'm half saying this wasn't our fault. There was a story that sort of implied about like Michael Keaton's Batman being the main Batman. So we had a tweet that went up. Probably shouldn't use the word confirmed or whatever. Confirmed Michael Keaton will be the main Batman within the DC replacing Ben Affleck. It was a little misleading. Probably it was I'll say 51% our fault. It was pretty fucking vague. It was pretty fucking vague. And then the follow-up tweet from this guy, Brooks Barnes, this is not his fault, but he did say, been offline, moving apartments in parentheses, and returned to see this Michael Keaton craziness. I was referring to the one film that Keaton has been announced as being in, not a set of his own Batman films. If I had info on him beyond The Flash, I would have obviously put it in my article. So then we 9,000 retweets later, then some people were mad at us. A movie reporter, Eric Davis from Fandango, we kind of went back and forth with him. It was very cordial. People were like, some like movie, like really hardcore movie reporter, people were like, fuck you, you're reporting fake news. They're like, I don't fucking know, man. But I still think there's, I think there's a little truth to this. Like, I think Keaton will probably end up being the and we like Batfleck. Actually, that was the other thing. Other people thought that we were like hating on Ben Affleck Batman. We've all kind of said we like Ben Affleck Batman. I think there's a little truth to this, though, at some point. I think Keaton will probably end up being like the mainline one.
People want him, man.
I just look, dude, you got to have a main Batman and a side Batman. And you got to keep both of your Batmans happy or else they'll find out about each other.
Make sure you put side Batman's number in your phone as dominoes so that you can find out.
Let me read the interaction this came from. This guy, Nestor Center Scene, said, "Hi, Brooks Barnes. Based on your piece, I'm out of piece. Some have interpreted that WB is doing two franchises starring Batman, one with Pattinson, one with a new actor. Is that correct? Or you were referring to Keaton as a second Batman being part of a non-Batman centric saga?" And all Barnes replied with was Keaton. So it was it was very vague. And he did update it. To his credit, he was like, "I never really said it." And he didn't. In his article, he did not say that. But the very vague tweet, again, we probably shouldn't have put confirmed, but we kind of got trust me. And I'm not like upset that we got dragged. I thought it was very funny and I fucked with some people and the replies. But it was quite the saga in our Twitter mentions.
You fucking another Batman. Tell me.
You'd be the worst possessive boyfriend, Batman. It'd be terrible. You'd be hacking in your phone, fucking filing our databases, seeing what OnlyFans you're subscribed to. Be the worst.
That guy's old as fuck.
I love him though. Love to see him be like a grizzled Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's already material they can work off of. They don't have to chart this course on their own.
Exactly, yeah. Who did we talk about with this? Jeffrey Dean Morgan, how he wanted to play Thomas Wayne Batman. I forget the name of that version of Batman off the top of my head. But like, there's a lot of space for that. We'd love that.
The more time that gets delayed between now and the Robert Pattinson Batman, the more I'm talking to myself into that being no way that's good. I have a hard time. Yeah, I don't know. Like I just
did the movie we're reviewing today, which I haven't even mentioned, Wonder Woman. Obviously, Wonder Woman. Did that affect it at all?
It didn't. It didn't help its case. I'm not optimistic about it because it just in general doesn't seem like they know what they're doing. But at the same time, it kind of feels like this one is firewalled a little bit. So I don't know. Who knows? It's just kind of the way I'm thinking about the concept art again, and it was cool, but like, you know, how's it gonna look?
That's a good trailer, man. That's a good.
It was a good trailer. That's what I'm saying, though. It's probably not rational. You really got no reason. It's just that the track record for these DC movies is not stellar.
Track record for Batman is mostly
yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, Batman's been. Aside from the Schumacher run ones, I don't think there's ever been like a mainline Batman movie that I've hated.
Yeah, like there's no unwatchable Batman. And even like in movies where the actual movie isn't that great, like the Justice League, like Batfleck was good. Like he was not the problem with those movies. So, you know, it is what it is.
So that's kind of the news on Batman, I guess. Quickly, other ad read, Manscaped got a nice... And I saw, I think Ken Jack and I both got some mail from them.
We did. Oh,
did you? Did you get a lawnmower 3.0?
It's a cologne.
Yeah.
They do cologne to put on your, your.
No, that's the balls.
Body. Oh, yeah. they're going full body now.
Yeah.
On your wrist. Like
they're expanding. They're mushrooming out. No pun intended.
Yes. Happy New Year's for Manscaped. Best in men's below the waist grooming, offering precision engineered tools, and also some fantastic cologne. Ken Jack's holding it. I'm going to describe it. It's like a square black kind of box thing.
Ooh, that's it's classy.
I got to run in front of you guys right now. Here, you guys want to hear the spray? You want to hear?
Yeah, the let's hear the spritz. Let's hear the spritz. What's tell me what the top note is?
How'd that sound?
Wait, do it again. Do it again. One more time. Oh, that's
right into the mic.
That's incredible. You're like a Foley artist.
It's right into that mic grill. What's the top note? Is it woodsy? Is it citrusy? Is it
flowery? I would say it just smells to me like musk. You know, the good musk. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, like Kimball Musk, not his brother.
I'm going to railroad their copy here. I'm not going to talk about the ball spritzer, the crop reviver. I love that. Cologne. They sent the cologne. I'm going to talk about the cologne. Sorry, Mask, if you're mad at me, let me know. But the cologne is fantastic. And it came in a very presentable, like...
Good packaging.
It was neat. I didn't want to throw the packaging away.
And I know some of you are like, why can't I just use the cologne as a ball spritzer? I'm going to be willing to bet there's some stuff in the cologne that's not going to be good for that.
I'm going to say don't do that. Get the reviver.
I'm just getting ahead of it for Manscaped.
Getting a urethra blockage of ambergris is no good.
You get 20% off and free shipping with code LIGHTS at Manscaped, MANSCAPED.com. Every part of your body, your balls, body will thank you if you get the crop reviver, the cologne. 20% off and free shipping with code LIGHTS, LIGHTS, at Manscaped.com.
You have a buildup of wormwood residue in your pee hole, sir. Oh, damn. Grab the cologne bottle again.
You ever pick the wrong, instead of toothpaste, like the wrong bottle? I've done that before. To disastrous results.
Yeah,
once with Preparation H, but I noticed before I used it.
No, I've done it before with like it's more special. Why am I stuttering so much tonight? I need more practice on podcasts. The specialized lotions. And smaller tubes. I had a specialized lotion for my elbows. They get pretty gross. And I did that. And one, it could have gone worse. It could have been like a charcoal type cream. Whatever.
Here is the quote from Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean himself. He said to Variety, "I don't much enjoy playing him. The weight of responsibility is not pleasant. I find it stressful and exhausting, and I look forward to the end of it."
He's fucking treating it like it's Spider-Man with great power.
No.
I love it.
I feel like all British actors can't like say they enjoy acting.
Or anything.
Yeah, maybe. Anything.
He's one of those two where he's done many things for many years, not just Mr. Bean. But that's just kind of what he's fucking known as. And I imagine being a typecast for that character, like he basically played it like a goofy fucking guy in Rat Race, like
it was Mr. Bean more or less.
he's
an even dumber Mr. Bean, but like he was at the opening ceremony of the Olympics, which was a very fucking big deal for England and London. The Queen was there, and his character,
it's Mr. Bean.
Don't fucking call me Mr. Bean, yelled. Yo, slag.
His character, he wasn't down there as Rowan Atkinson. It was a Chariots of Fire thing, and he was Mr. Bean playing the piano, fucking up the song. And so, like, that's one of those ones. But like, obviously, he's gonna do it. He's Mr. Bean. But I feel like even like this proud moment for your country, you got to be the fucking goofball. It's got to just wear on you. Absolutely wear.
He's playing Hitler very soon too. So credit to him for branching out. You know, he's got depth.
He's got to be branched out more in England, right? Is he talking about England, or is this just frustration of him not being able to break out into an international audience?
Here's what I come down to with a dude like this is that, like, you can bitch about having to play Mr. Bean all you want. His net worth is $150 million from playing fucking Mr. Bean. So, like, you could survive and not enjoying having to play that. People go through much worse each day than having to act like this fucking goofball for these British cretins, red-faced buffoons just howling in laughter at you.
Fucking these weirdos who have gone absolutely insane from living on this island for thousands of years.
These inbred red-faced buffoons.
Oi, look at that one, bro.
Oi, you fucking...
You slipped on a banana, people.
You want a Wigan kebab, mate? Is it fucking...
Smack bomb pee wet, mate.
Smack bomb pee wet. Here's the thing, though. That's the uneasy thing about celebrities is that I definitely understand what Mr. Bean and Rowan Atkinson is saying here, because I would hate doing something for that long too. Like, it just gets old, and people say, "Oh, there's Mr. Bean, and you're a person." Like, I yada yada yada. I get it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about being a celebrity. You're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say that. Just shut the fuck up.
Like, that's something you save, right? Like, you in this specific moment, too, to have that kind of lack of perspective really just, it hurts. It doesn't look good. He also had more, too, on, like, cancel culture, too, right? On the interview.
Hey, fuck you. I wish they fucking canceled Mr. Bean. I wish they just say Mr. Bean was in the Epstein flight logs.
He was the pilot.
I have a good old toad in the hole and then go out and see Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean just like fucking up, like I'm falling down and tripping on a ladder and said that weird little shrine on the little St. James Island.
Are you Alan Dershowitz?
I don't know why we're doing this voice for Mr. Bean. It's just like not his voice at all.
He said, the problem we have online is that an algorithm decides what we want to see, which ends up creating a simplistic binary view of society. It becomes a case
Mr. Bean.
Of either you're with us or against us. And if you're against us, you deserve to be canceled. He's absolutely entitled to his opinion. I don't know.
I'm reading this article
and there's just a bunch of GIFs of him below it, and it just completely it drowns away what he's saying.
13 things Mr. Bean has tripped on. I don't really care what Mr. Bean says.
I don't either.
The existence or the non-existence of cancel culture.
I just sent you the guys, the GIF immediately below the cancel culture post is him with like stickers on his eyelids, his eyelids and his tongue.
It's like you can't fucking trip on a banana peel these days without offending somebody, mate.
That's the intro to his stand-up bit that he does.
Oh yeah.
He headlines for Gervais now.
He just slides on a banana peel 30 yards across the stage. Mr. Bean.
Crickets in the U.S., but howls of laughter in Polioff Shire, England.
You know, so Mr. Bean's one thing. The American Mr. Bean is Leisure Suit Larry.
Yes. Correct.
And much cooler.
Which needs to be brought back ASAP.
I shoehorn Leisure Suit Larry into many conversations at work. And it usually Ken jacks around because it's usually like on radio. It unfortunately goes over the head of far too many people.
Not enough people have been exposed to Leisure Suit Larry.
It's unfortunate because Leisure Suit Larry is a very fun Wikipedia rabbit hole to go down.
It's also a very old thing too.
Actually, no, go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's been around forever.
Yeah, it's many game systems.
Since the days of DOS.
Are you
games.
Aware of who the mascot of Dairy Queen is, Drew?
Dennis the Menace?
Okay. Yeah, we had Nick and KB on, and I was their like brand and mascot guys, and that was like the first time I've ever heard them stumped on one. I didn't know if that was.
Yeah, anytime you're making decisions for marketing for a company, you gotta say who's the shittiest, nastiest child we can think of to be our mascot. This gross little goblin loves our ice cream.
Next up,
Eden Matarazzo.
There's a couple trailers. There's a new heist thriller comedy called Lockdown coming to HBO Max that starring Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor. Comes out January 4th.
Oh, this is going to be great. Anne Hathaway's been fucking
We will be reviewing this. Doesn't look great.
Arguably
bad.
Is it COVID-based or is it just...
It's partially, like, yes.
Lockdown is just... The heist.
The whole trailer was them doing Zoom meetings about and wanting to plan this heist if Hammond's in England, and just no thank you. No, what is Anne Hathaway doing, man? We talk about her all the time and just this career downturn of hers. Just you can live comfortably right now and turn down roles and wait. Wait till the right role comes across your desk. And you knew this wasn't it.
Are we putting Anne Hathaway in Fassbender territory?
I think she's in bad agent territory, dude. She's in really bad agent territory.
I think she's in just don't give a fuck mode. I think she's got her Oscar.
Why would she be in not give a fuck mode? Like, she's in the peak of her like everything.
Because she can. You can afford to be in not give a fuck mode if you're Anne Hathaway. You can be in Dad Boat. You can be in the fucking Dirty Scoundrels remake with Pitch Perfect.
Ugh, Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson.
Dude, The Hustle. Dark Water is admittedly very good. I'll give her that. Not See, necessarily because of her, but still.
She's throwing some bones to the hogs.
The Witches, Serenity, Ocean's 8, Colossal. I remember that one. And then, like, The Intern before that, which is The Intern I know you're obsessed with. I know you're a big Intern guy.
Yeah, I just think, I think mostly for me, it was the biggest. I can forgive everything else, but the Rebel Wilson one was almost just unforgivable in terms of, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But Anne Hathaway's a queen. I'll follow her to the end. I'll go down with that ship. I don't care. She could be in the Goonies remake playing Sloth. I don't care.
Oh, God. She would do it too, dude. She did The Witches. It was kind of the same thing.
Well, she ended up apologizing for her role in The Witches too.
That's right. The fingers thing.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Her toes thing?
Doing least favorite, top five least favorite movies of 2020. I wonder if The Witches will be on anyone's list. Anything else here? Walter Mata will remain DC film president. That was kind of the story we were talking about earlier. Zack Snyder shared some more pictures. Zack Snyder's always throwing pictures out there on that Vero app. There is one more trailer. There's a trailer called Desert Strike starring Mike Tyson and the guy who plays the Mountain from Game of Thrones. His name is, I can't pronounce it.
Hafþór Bjørgensen.
Yeah. There you go. Inform us about this trailer here, Ken Jack.
Yeah, no, I just came across this randomly because I was just looking for trailers to post on Instagram, and it showed up, and it is a ride. It's Mike Tyson protecting Egyptian immigrants versus some sort of private military corporation, because that's what happens in every fucking movie ever nowadays. It is hilariously bad. Did you watch a trail?
No, but I was like the use of PMCs in a movie, because it's a good way to, like, go up against the military without offending a specific nation,
country, yeah,
nation, nation. I don't want to say nation. I was about to say nationality. Nation. No, that's not true. It's like nation.
That's like what they do.
Aldous Rain.
They either, like, invent a country that, like, seceded from Russia, or they say you're fighting against a PNC. That's, like, the only two options they really, or PMC. That's the only two options they give you now. And it is hilariously bad. Like, very, very bad trailer. But I definitely want to watch it. I, like, 100% want to watch it. It looks hysterical.
Yeah, I'm just. No, I don't really want to watch it, man. I don't know. We could watch it together. I'd watch it with you.
Yeah, do a live watch.
We could do a live watch.
Money That's plane. The only way that watch could it. Be a money plane type thing.
It's true.
It could be. I don't know who's behind this one. You just gotta. I just. It's the subtleties of Money Plane that I don't think they'll be able to nail on this one. Like Kelsey Grammer's name in that one being the. What was his name
Darius
again?
Emmanuel Grouch the third.
Darius Crouch the third. Yeah. You're a mean one, Mr. Grouch.
Yeah. That's it for news. Let's talk about Wonder Woman 1984. I'm kind of glad we had time to think about this. Not that we liked it. No, it's not like we went from liking it to disliking it, because that's kind of what happened for some people, it seemed. It was a weird turn for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes, on Twitter, everywhere. It was certified. It lost its certified fresh badge on Rotten Tomatoes. That is not something you see every day. Wonder Woman 1984. You know what it's about, but I'll read the synopsis. Diana Prince lives quietly among mortals in the vibrant, sleek 1980s. Oh, boy, we will talk about
that. I love to live quietly among mortals while working at the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
And in a position that interacts with the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the 80s thing. That's going to be the first thing we talk about. I'm actually bookmark that. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. An era of excess driven by the pursuit of having it all. Though she's come into her full powers, she maintains a low profile by curating ancient artifacts and only performing heroic acts incognito. But
the low profile job we know and love. Mm-hmm. Once again, folks.
But soon Diana will have to muster all of her strength, wisdom, and courage as she finds herself squaring off against Maxwell, Lord, and the Cheetah, a villainess who possesses superhuman strength and ability.
Electro 2.
Oh, my God.
Literally, yeah. Electro 2.
Ken Jack. Okay, so I didn't like this movie. There was a point I watched the movie with my dad when I was home. There was a point very early on in this movie that I turned to my dad. Actually, not early on. At 1 hour, it was almost the exact 1 hour mark where I turned to my dad and I said, "Man, this is fucking boring." And he's like, he goes, I was just about to say that. And I think that's kind of the sentiment for most people. It is a, there's a lot of fighting online about this. If you liked it, I have no issue with that. Complete credit to you. We all liked the first movie, very much enjoyed that. I think a lot of us didn't like it. I think all three of us didn't like it. I very much did not like this movie. Not the worst DC movie in my opinion. It is not worse than Suicide Squad, but it is very low in the totem pole. I think I have it second to the worst for the DCEU movies. 46 out of 100. We'll talk about that first fucking hour, how boring it is. We're talking about the 80s first, though. But Ken, Jack, give us your score. Quick thoughts.
Yeah, it just this is a movie where like I didn't watch it Christmas Day because I'd like spending time with family and all that. But then I watched it the next day and I was just like reading what people were saying about it. And I think the expectation being in the floor kind of fucked up my perception of it because I watched it and I was like, that was bad. But it was not nearly as egregiously bad as the internet was making it seem. But then the more I marinated on it and I watched it again, I was like, this is really bad. Like it is actually this bad. And it's a combination of different factors, I think. And it's mostly number one, the acting is awful. The acting is God fucking awful. The setting is shit. And they double down on the villain problem, which not only plagues the entire DC universe, but specifically fucked up the first movie. How they didn't not only just didn't fix it, but made it worse. How do you let that happen, man? You know the most identifiable weak point from your first movie and you make it worse. That is unbelievable to me. It's just bore. There's no action. There's no Wonder Woman, man. There's no fucking Wonder Woman. I sat down and spent two and a half hours watching wanting more fucking Wonder Woman. There's no Wonder Woman. It's just it's a bore. I gave it a 39 out of 100.
Yeah. I'm gonna go lower than you guys. I'm not for you, Ken Jack. I'm going lower than you, Jeff. It's 40 out of 100. It's not an awful movie, and I don't love to call people bad actors, bad actresses or whatever, because I just don't know if I'm equipped to objectively tell you what makes them bad. But one of the problems with this movie, and I think Wonder Woman 1 kind of had it, but I gave it more of a pass because it was new and she was new to the character, is that Gal Gadot is not a good actress.
No, she's not.
And look,
I'm saying.
I don't like saying it. Whether someone, I mean, she could be capable of it. Like I've seen movies with her outside of the Wonder Woman franchise, and like I think they've been about the same. But the problem is I don't think she, you know, as an actress, has enough to do what this movie needed her to do. And by that I mean they focus less on action scenes as her as just Wonder Woman being a badass, and more on her relationship with Chris Pine's character. And I just don't think she was able to carry that in a believable and likable way. And I think too much, it pushed other actors in the movies to do too much. And so you ended up with scenes like the Chris Pine fucking clothes montage, which is just a trope we should just not be doing anymore. We should not be doing a clothes montage. I know you can say, well, it's a 1984 and it's homage or whatever, but it adds nothing other than it's just padding on an already too bloated movie. So I hate saying someone's a bad this, bad this, but I will say like it's tough with the character when you separate her from being Wonder Woman and you ask her to be Diana Prince for most of the movie and then have a lot of these scenes which are just boring to begin with. There's not much for her to really do to make it interesting.
And I want to note, just to piggyback on this, I remember when we reviewed the first movie saying that I don't think Gal Gadot is a good actress, and I don't think that she was particularly good in the first one. But it, like you said, which I think is an important point, it's forgivable in the first movie because she is like coming into her own as the character. And like that's not even just part of Gal Gadot adapting to the character of Wonder Woman, but the actual character of Diana Prince like coming into her own as like a person and growing up and all that. So it's forgivable. But now that she's established, you can't do that.
But the thing is here's where I'll cut her some slack. Nobody else really did a great job in this movie either, except for maybe Kristen Wiig. Like
God, she's the worst of the bunch, man.
You thought Kristen Wiig was I kind of enjoyed her. Maybe Pedro Pascal, because I kind of feel like they like knew what the movie was going to be, and they're just like, okay, just be crazy, just go what you got to do. So he ends up being this character who basically has this weird house of cards, like succession to the top, just by going into people's offices and holding their hands and getting what they want. It's just like an escalating thing. Like, you ever read those things where it's like somebody starts with a pool ball and trades up for a $500,000 house? Like, that's what this felt like for him. Just going in,
Ponzi scheme, yeah, essentially.
Just nonstop, like, upgrading on people in terms of their wishes. And then the whole, like, you mean there's, like, the whole, like, satellite? It's a ridiculous plot. So not to pick on Gal Gadot too much, because there's a lot more wrong with this movie than just her. But I think there's structurally something wrong with it when you ask her to not so much kick ass as Wonder Woman, which she does a very good job at, and more so have conversations with Chris Pine. Which I don't care. Jay Cutler, don't care at all about.
It didn't feel like a Wonder Woman movie to me. And I think that's just a fucking problem. Like, that's just not, like, that's the shitty part. If Wonder Woman was the problem, I could probably live with it and not be disappointed. It's not like my expectations were crazy high, but, like, I watch it and I'm like, damn, did they fucking whiff on this? Like, you just didn't make the movie Wonder Woman. It felt too much like a Maxwell Lord movie. It just didn't. It was a movie about like a thing, like an art of it's just this thing.
I want to be a rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like, what is
who doesn't want to be the
if
rock?
If it was a monkey's paw, it should have turned him into a literal rock. Mm-hmm. He told it, it's like, I want to be the embodiment of you or whatever. But you're right, Jeff. It was like, it was a lot of him. It was just, and that's the thing is it almost took some of those like worst impulses out of this like current era of aesthetic first streaming entertainment, like stuff we have with Stranger Things, where like I think Stranger Things is a fine show, but I think you're deluding yourself if you discount the fact that it's time in terms of when it takes place and the set pieces it's using and the nostalgia it brings up doesn't have a lot to do with the show on its success on itself. And so the Wonder Woman 84 almost feels like something that kind of started with concept art and pitch boards, and the concept art looked real cool. We talked about it when we talked about the movie posters, and yeah, I'm a sucker for shots at the mall where you see the old Walden books. It started with the aesthetics, but they didn't really wrap anything around it other than the fact that, like, you know, we're going to be in the 80s, which, Jeff, I know you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, okay, I was actually gonna skip on that. No, we're not. We're gonna start with the 80s. Because the next thing I want to get back to the Chris Pine thing too, and like emotional payoffs with this movie and
big like, gassy fart.
It's that rare example where like it's hard to separate this from the other movie when the thing that it is trying to pay off is hinging on the other movie. So we'll get to that. So we'll get to Chris Pine. The 80s thing, yeah, they can say that it was an era of like of everything being over the top and glitzy and like wow in your face. And I get that. That's like the Maxwell Lord character was very 80s. But it was there. And Ken Jack, this is I'll credit you on this. You said it felt like our fucking 90s episode at some points.
Mm-hmm. There's so many of those points throughout this movie where they're just like, hey, Chris Pine, act like something's new. Like that you didn't know about Radar. Hey, you got to say it out loud, pal.
Yeah, Radar. I'll explain that one later. It's like, oh.
Oh man,
it served really. And the funny thing is though, the first hint of the 80s was that mall scene, and the mall scene was awesome. Like I loved the mall scene. Mm-hmm. Like, and I thought that's what we were gonna get. It had a very fun, light, kind of campy but also like badass cool looking action vibe to it, and it fit in the like it just kind of worked. And then it just didn't do it. It didn't do anything for a fucking hour. There wasn't a mm-hmm. 1 ounce of a conflict for 1 hour of that movie, which was like that's like slow burns are fine, but it's a comic book movie. Let's not pretend we don't know. There's gonna be conflicts. There's gonna be two villains, and they didn't do anything for an hour really. Like they kind of did Maxwell Lord, and then they did the Electro thing from Spider-Man with Kristen Wiig's character.
Well, so it's Selena Kyle, yeah. Spider-Man. The mm-hmm. Remember Uma Thurman was a nerdy scientist in Batman Forever.
Yes. That's like, probably yeah.
It's not a new trope, but for like it's just for them to it reminds you so much of the other stuff. It's tough to say this movie's trying to strike out on its own.
Not only does it remind you of those other like characters that you remember, but I think that these two characters are just 3D versions of like Lusendorf or whatever in Ares from the first movie. And that's one of the biggest problems we walked away from Wonder Woman. One was, right, that we didn't like the German World War One general guy was not a cool villain, and Ares was a really shitty villain. And they doubled down on that, not only in the aspect of like Ares looked like shit. I remember all of us saying that. Fucking Cheetah looked awful. Terrible. And had no fleshed out backstory, which is the worst problem here.
They got away with it. In the first one, they got away with it, though, right? Like, that's kind of the thing. Like, they weren't great, but you had the No Man's Land thing, which was an amazing moment. It was emotional. It was fucking cool as hell. And I didn't go crazy over the ending, but the ending was emotional, and it worked in the first movie. Like the clock, like the watch and all that. Like, it was the big moments for the important character, Wonder Woman, paid off in that movie. And that's why it was a good movie. It worked. It worked despite maybe the villains not being very good. This, unfortunately, like, it focused so much on the villains, and they weren't awful, but there just wasn't, like, the Wonder Woman stuff. And I'll that emotional payoff thing with Chris Pine, like, the bringing back of that character was a fucking dud.
Just a plank, dude. He offered nothing.
And they had cool chemistry and all, but it offers you nothing with the story. And it just, again, I try to view these movies, all of them, sequels, like, just in that, like, tunnel vision. I try to go narrow just that movie. But it's hard when they connect so much. Like, you have to, some of it builds off each other. And this is an example where it didn't, like, ruin the first movie, but, like, you bring that in from the first movie, and it impacts the way you view this. You're like, what? Like, it's just, he's a guy now? He's just this guy? Like, and then at the end of the movie, everything just reverses again.
Yeah.
Spoiler, the Cheetah's just alive.
Yep. Nothing really happened.
No, I was like,
she's just okay.
It went from
there's
mistakes.
No consequence to anything that happened.
Well, there's no consequence with world destroying stakes. That's
well, at the end of the day, everything seemed fine. Maxwell Lord was okay, Cheetah was okay, everyone lived, everyone was okay. And not to mention, Cheetah and Maxwell Lord both followed a parallel arc, and like neither of them were interesting. They weren't compelling villains. How do you fuck this up again, man? I don't get that.
What saved this movie from being a complete fucking disaster to being like I said in my blog, Batman and Robin bad. Godot and Pine, like, I didn't have much of an issue with her acting. I completely get what you're saying, though, and I agree to an extent. I thought her and Pine were pretty fucking good when they were together, and all of their scenes were intriguing, and that was their moments. Like, man, why is this not the whole – like, this should be the movie. Like, it needs to be them. Like, I'm getting too much of the other ones. Music was really good. I thought the movie looked good. Hans Zimmer did the fucking score, so it's going to sound good. Like, a lot of those elements saved it from being really close to being one of the worst comic book movies of all time. Like, I thought some of the takes were maybe a little harsh on this, because, like, I did see, like, we had somebody on our discussion thread say it was, and hey, like, power to you for this, like, your opinion, like, I don't fault you at all. I think worse than Fantastic Four, which that takes a lot for me, because that was barely a movie. Like, that was like, this is a movie. It's put together. It's just incredibly convoluted story. It's completely overpacked, almost like it's not edited. And I know this is not. And I know if you're like a techno movie person, I know this is not like a sign that they didn't edit the movie. But I chuckled when they said they only had one deleted scene. I was like, well. No shit. Like, what? It's like the whole movie. It's like it's like a packed with deleted scenes that people wanted to see.
I think the best thing about the movie was the core concept, because they kind of, I feel like they had the idea of what they wanted to do. Like, you know, you get this 80s era, you get the greed is good stuff, and you can make it a battle of, like, for a superhero, like, trying not to be selfish. And I think that that core element was good. And I think that part of that inner struggle for Diana, I think that's what worked for me and made the movie not completely unwatchable. But like, I don't know if it was you or your Trilla just said it, but like, it's almost like the storyboard thing, right, where it's just a collection of shit that, like, ideas that they had, but they had absolutely no way to string it together in a cohesive manner. And that's where this movie really, really struggled, and that it's just frustrating, because, you know, Wonder Woman's badass, dude. Like, what, all we want to do is see Wonder Woman kick ass. It doesn't need to be this complicated.
I It didn't look great in every place, but I it looked good enough for me.
Yeah, the Cheetah was not good.
And part of it, look, I'm willing to give an excuse to anything done this year that relates to, like, computers and computer animation, because it's got to be tough to crunch on that and do all that shit during COVID. So, you know, it's kind of like, I got to state, even though we're skewering this movie, it is kind of a miracle it got released this year when so many other big tentpole movies were delayed. But I think maybe because of that, it didn't look really great. But I did enjoy like the final fight with, you know, Diana came in her Stark 4.0 armor or whatever the DC equivalent is. You know, it came in and then, you know, she let go of the wings and, you know, what Wonder Woman does really well are those shots where the camera kind of pans out and she steps forward and has those badass scenes. Like, I enjoy that. Like, that's what I want. I want her kicking ass. I guess this is the tough thing about a comic book movie is, you know, you got a guy like Jeff who's like, I like the relationship between her and Chris Pine's character, Colonel Rick Flagg, and me who's like, I just want to see, you know, more action. And you can't really make everyone pleased, but certainly it should be easier to make a movie that's like a 65 or a 70 that's more just like, this movie was okay, rather than this movie was too long, didn't have a good anything. You know, it didn't really have good anything is the problem. It wasn't like bad anything, but normally you can point to like something like, you know, maybe you like the 80s part of it. But at this point, that's not really enough for me to say, okay, you did a good job picking out a time period of where the movie's at. Like, unless the 80s for me is like really easy to do. Like, you put Chris Pine in a members only jacket. That's about as fucking, I mean, I could do that. You had a fanny pack and a members only jacket and some pleated pants or whatever. Like, I can do that shit. But it still looked good, so you got to give some credit there. I just don't think, like, I don't think aesthetic is enough to really make a movie about it anymore. And I hope studios and TV shows are cautious about that, because it's a good way to get the initial buzz and it's a good way to get the nostalgia going and for people to get excited about it. But hopefully it doesn't really replace a finalized product. Because it certainly did in this case.
It's like, what do you call it? Can we watch Ragnarok? Oh, we got Ragnarok at home with a saturated color palette in the 80s. We just watched Wonder Woman 1984.
That was a bummer. That, I'll go back to what I said. That bummed me out, too. It's like the usage of the 80s just felt completely unearned and unnecessary. It just didn't need to be. It was. Especially after that mall. Like, in the mall scene, I loved. The tone after the mall scene, it just became a different movie.
I don't understand why they used the beginning Olympic scene thing. Like, what, we already did the origin story, man.
Because
like,
that was another thing. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that was another thing that really pissed me off is where, like, and I don't know. One thing I thought about is just there not being a comic book movie this year hasn't made me a little more critical of comic book movies just because I'm not as used to it. But it did seem like the moralizing that came with that opening Olympic scene and how they tied it back to like her decision she made in the movie and the resolution of the movie was like extremely something that the boys would mock.
It was so unnecessary.
Yeah. And like, but that's a fine line to balance the comic book movies. Cause all of them are like that to some degree, right? Like all of them have that like feel good message that, you know, believe in yourself and you can do it sort of message, that good's going to win in the end message. They're like, you know, their story isn't inherently cynical, even though I think the production behind them might be, but they're all like that. This one just took a lot of time to just lay it at your feet and tell you to fucking stare at it, I guess.
There's just nothing tying together the individual parts of this movie, which is just, it is beyond frustrating to watch as a fan of comic book movies. And people will always, I think the DC crazy fans will try and say like, oh, people have it out for DC. People have it out for DC. Like, this is objectively not good. Like, there is many technical problems with this movie. And that's just a fact, man. Like that. And we want them, these movies, to be good. Like, right. Is that not the bottom line for all three of us?
Yeah.
It
goes back to, they don't have a strong force like Hatman that's guiding everything. Things are probably siloed off, or multiple people are in charge, or someone's in charge, but they're not really in charge. There's no general uniting aesthetic or direction or anything to them. And I think they suffer as a consequence. And that's when you end up with like fucking, you know, a PowerPoint slide timeline of like, what's the current Batman that you need to watch before you go into a movie. But shout out to Robin Wright, who like showed up, flew out to that location and filmed Matt.
Yeah, right? That scene that almost got deleted too.
That scene, like,
Paige Jenkins, like, that, made that, a stand about that one fucking scene.
That scene where she just Cersei Lannistering it, like staring at the proceedings, and then walks down to just say, like, "Oh, it's cool. Just don't cheat."
Yeah,
Francis. Yeah,
don't lie.
Francis, we got Tom here. He's gonna hit the walls.
There's some other things here. Big time movie boy Tommy said, "What the hell was going on with the dude who had his body taken over by Chris Pine? Did his family and friends just not hear from him for a week? Well, Chris Pine is out and about in his body. Did he get fired from his job? This goddamn movie thought it was a-okay to just delete nukes out of the sky, but it would be too much suspension this week to think that Chris Pine could come back as himself." It's a solid point. Gave it a 35 out of 100. That's the other thing too. It's like it got really sloppy. If like you can just erase everything at the end. It's like did that guy's wife die in the fucking restaurant? Oh, hey,
my wife thought I was cheating, but I told her my body was just possessed by a dead soldier from World War I.
You didn't even wish for anything.
I spent the weekend beating out Wonder Woman. She didn't believe it.
Everyone saw you guys together on the Washington Mall.
Dude. I got a Cinnabon in my fanny pack.
Man, that mall scene, I really wish it could have been a whole movie of her just beating people up in a mall like Commando or something. That would have been fucking awesome. That's a great mall beat-up scene in Commando.
It did remind me of Paul Blart Mall Cop. I'm like, oh, they're doing the Paul Blart. They're doing the mall heist. They got to go into the mall.
You know what I think I'll also give this movie credit for? Something that I was worried about going into this was that they were going to make kind of have a lack of subtlety comparing Maxwell Lord to Trump. I do think that was a very clear point of this movie, like a very point, or at least a point that they tried to make, but it was subtle enough on the line where it wasn't like, you know, in your fucking face, right?
I want to just be like, it's always funny in comic book movies because like those scenes, you know, it's an opportunity cost what the hero does with their time. But the scenes where they're just like in a random location, like a mall stopping a robbery, you're just like, there's got to be a genocide somewhere.
A bigger problem happening somewhere.
Yeah, it's 1984. It's very politically not great time. So, you know, you're here outside of B. Dalton just using your lasso to fucking knock down these Home Alone level villains.
Fat Cat 2000 is the one who said it was worst movie since Fantastic Four. Okay. Writing absolutely horrendous. I feel like I was watching a Tommy Wiseau film in parts. Actually, writing didn't kill me, but I get it.
The funniest part was when Chris Pine's character was behind the facade and he was like, "I'll love you forever, Diane."
Then she just starts forever.
And then he just deletes her.
She starts running away.
Sam Raimi Spider-Man-esque visuals, but Sam Raimi knows how to use practical effects to offset quality CGI. Again, I think I have a bad eye for things. It didn't kill me. Some I didn't like, but I will agree with this point. We were promised a brightly lit color bonanza from the title and posters only to get a drab, low-lit finished product. It was fairly drab in some parts, especially the Cheetah fight.
Yes. The
Cheetah fight should have absolutely been in a massive color palette.
I think the point they wanted to make there was to make the gold suit pop more against the gray background, make that a bigger scene. But that should have been a more well-lit scene. But I think also maybe they didn't want to show Cheetah in full light because she looked like garbage.
I think they did. Yeah, I think they did a Battle of Winterfell on that one. Like,
there was another scene where she rescues those two kids in like the Egyptian highway that was like Spawn level effects bad. Like it was so like it stood out so deeply. And the fact that they made it in slow-mo made it even worse. I don't know how you do that. And her running with the car. Dude, like she's pushing the truck laterally for no fucking reason.
Steering wheel came off, though.
Biggest, again, I just think if you make that more Wonder Woman, I think a lot of its errors are covered up. Now, when I say that, I mean it probably comes in at like in the 60s maybe for me. But like it just, you completely overshadowed your hero with okay villains, with an okay villain, and then one that was just a retread of other things we've seen that wasn't unique or interesting, which is a shame because the Kristen Wiig thing could have been fun.
This like Frank Underwood, Gordon Gekko character I didn't hate it. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't think it was a good villain, but I kind of felt like Pedro Pascal was reading the room and is like, I got to do what I got to do here to
make
it up. Somewhat interesting.
I just think, I'm just imagining like her stopping petty theft while like Manuel Noriega is like just massacring people in Panama. And she's like, oh, sorry, I got to stop this jewel theft. It's more important to me. Sorry.
They're stealing hoodies at the Gap.
You know. She's basically a glorified Paul Blart. She was the mall security guard in that scene.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing about movies that old or that take place in time periods like that. Like that bar Kristen Wiig and Gal Gadot were at. It's like that bar definitely didn't exist in 1984, man. Like that's like the W Hotel bar. Like, you don't fucking lie to me.
You know what? Speaking of which, I went to Food Line this last weekend. There was a lady there with a gun. A security guard there was just like a fucking gun. That was wild.
Gotta protect that food line. That shit's really, really normal in France, by the way.
What, security guards?
Guns. Yeah, maybe not security guards, but like policemen just carrying like MP5s or whatever. It's really jarring when you travel overseas and the you know, police forces are carrying rifles and stuff. It's a sight to see.
It happens in Penn Station all the time, man.
Yeah.
Jeff Cabot will tell you.
That's our thoughts on Wonder Woman 1984. I gave it the fairly low score of a 46. Kenjack lower, 39. True, remind me what you gave it?
I gave it 40.
40. Audience gave it a 31. Very low. Very low. I don't know what we're going to do this week. I know I always say that. There's a couple options. We were going to do Promising Young Woman, but people are saying that we got a screener for, so I wasn't aware. My fault that people weren't able to watch that yet. I don't know what we're going to do yet. There is that one movie with Mads Mikkelsen that I quite enjoyed from this.
Oh, it was awesome. It was so good.
It has a couple names. The one I know it as, I believe, is Another Round, correct?
That's the American title, yeah.
Another Round, and then Druk, I don't know how to say it. And we could do that. It was very good. Or... could do The Croods 2.
I don't know if I could do a whole episode on The Croods 2.
Okay, I was leaving that up for you. So maybe
that's a long time to do a bit. You saw the 90s episode. I can't do a bit that long.
We'll probably do another round. Songbird, the shitty Michael Bay quarantine movie, is another option. That is a steaming pile of shit.
It's very bad.
That is that we're gonna talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we are. We sure are.
Yeah. Okay, least favorite 2020 movies. Not our rankings. We've not seen everything. Ken, Jack, and I are – you're either right with me or right up against it and close to me. I am at one movie left for 2020, and it's just News of the World. I can't get a screener. It's in theaters. I may go see it this weekend. I may not. We've seen Minari, Promising Young Woman, saw – Pieces of a Woman, finally. One Night in Miami. Got a screener for that. Minari was fucking fantastic.
Very good.
Oh, my God. Promising Young Woman was incredibly awesome. Like, fucking wild. Really well done. Insane story. Revenge thriller. Absolutely check out Promising Young Woman when you can. We will eventually talk about it. But this is least favorite. Not worst. Movies that probably maybe pissed you off the most. We'll start with Ken Jack, then myself, Trill, then the audience. Ken Jack, number five, least favorite movie of 2020.
My number five is an easy one. It's Songbird. Songbird, absolutely terrible, terrible, terrible decision by the Michael Bay production company or whatever it is that he's in charge of. It was just awful. It was like I understand wanting to make a movie that kind of like centers around a pandemic because, you know, it's obviously the entire world that we're living in. But like if you can't make it in a way where it doesn't feel like you're just preying on everyone's anxieties and fears about it, then don't make it. And that's exactly what this movie did. It's boring. It's fucking useless. KJ Apa. I don't know what the fuck. Like KJ Apa, and then who's like the next most famous person? Like Bradley Whitford. And like that's it.
Yeah.
Well, Demi Moore, I think, is in it. It was just awful.
It's fucking bullshit. It's my five. It sucks. It sucks ass. It's predatory in terms of exploiting people's anxieties. It's also just getting something out there to say you did it. I don't I don't expect people to have a whole lot of appetite for pandemic related entertainment post pandemic, even during the pandemic. I mean, maybe at some point they will. It just seems like we've collectively lived through it too much. And then this is just kind of just like, okay, like, oh, I don't need to watch it. And even if it was good, it'd still be like, I don't know if I want to watch it, but it's not good. It sucks. And the KJ Apa thing is just pure Michael Bay. Like who's fucking hot? Like who's hot right now?
He looked up like IMDb hottest under like 22.
Who the chicks like? Oh, they like KJ. I'm going to get him. And Songbird.
This thing sucked. I gave it a 6 out of 100. It's not on my list. It is not on there, but it did suck ass. Kendrick, you gave it a 5 out of 100.
Sure did.
Yeah. Whew. That's
KJ Krapa.
This
movie sucked.
More like Demi Less.
I picked
Bradley Shitford.
My number five,
Michael Boop.
My number five is Super Intelligence.
Oh, God, that movie
with Melissa McCarthy and
Bobby
Cannavale. I really did not like this movie. I thought this was just horribly unfunny.
What, do you hate Seattle?
The funniest part about this movie was us talking about Ken Griffey Jr. when we reviewed it. Hey, it's the kid.
It's the kid. You're Ken Griffey Jr. You had a 3.2 OPS.
I remember you from my trading cards.
Are you Ken Griffey Jr. from the baseball video game? You were born
in Michigan.
Yeah,
you play with your dad on the Mariners.
The listing is Wikipedia article. That's it.
Super Intelligence number five for me. Audience number five, The Lovebirds.
Melissa McCartney.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to do that the whole time.
The Lovebirds with Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae.
Issa Rae, yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad, but I don't think I put it at least.
It wasn't, I didn't hate it that much. Yeah.
But audience number five.
Fucking no, he backed out of that interview he had with him that one time.
He did. Yeah. He can come back though.
What was he doing instead?
I don't know. A little squirt right into the butt cheeks.
Just fucking chewing gravel.
Yeah, the fucking jawline, dude. That last picture of him that he posted.
That is like a gravel chewing jawline right there.
It's got so sharp.
Like, it looks like the jawline of one of those birds on the Flintstones who fucking like chewed the gravel at the gravel plant.
He looks like fucking Stan Smith. It's fucking... He does so. Oh, who's up next? I guess
you're up again.
Oh, okay. So my number four is Fantasy Island. Fantasy Island was horrible. I feel like we reviewed that 5 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
Right. But I just remember thinking, I don't know the crazy amount about the original Fantasy Island. Like, this could be cool. Jimmy O Yang, obviously friend of the program. Some other actors and actresses. I think it was not Joey King. Some other. It was like a Joey King type actress was in it.
It was Lucy Hale.
Lucy Hale. Yeah. See, Joey King and Lucy Hale are both very much in the same vein. But I just remember it was so bad. Michael Pena, waste of time. And then the ending where they're like, yeah, Jimmy O Yang is actually Herv or whatever that guy's name is now. And just, man, just a bummer of a movie. Really bad.
Was that where I was mad that they had the audacity to set it up for a sequel like that?
Yes, because that was the ending, was Jimmy O Yang saying like the plane or whatever.
It's not on my list, but I gave it a 1 out of 100. It fucking sucked. You gave it a 0 out of 100. I fucking hated that movie. It didn't land in like least favorite for me. This next one did. This one I gave a 8 out of 100. I don't have an actual problem with this person, but he just bothers me so much in this movie. That's Skylar Gisondo from The Binge.
I knew he was going to be on yours.
The Binge was infuriating. That movie Gisondo. really
No one knows how old he is. He could be 40. He could be 10. We have no clue.
I watched that movie at work for prepping because I recorded here that night. And I stopped it a couple times to come have people look at a couple scenes. I was like, look at this fucking shitty movie. I really hated that movie, which is funny because Vince Vaughn did that movie. Then he did Freaky, which I really like. We could do that one too. We could do Freaky.
Yeah, true. We just keep delaying that over and over again.
That one. It's just tough because we have to get people to buy the movie for $20 online. Which I know they go to the theaters anyway, but yeah, the binge for me. Yeah, fuck the binge. Skylar Gisondo. could be 45 years old. I think he's like 21. Trill.
Yeah. All right, buddy. It's Irresistible. It's Steve Carell in Rose Byrne.
The candidate you want, baby. Chris Cooper.
Yeah. And you know, there's
no Wi-Fi in this shitty town. Yeah.
here's why I don't like it. Because Jon Stewart at one point was at the top of his game. And there's been a lot of people that, you know, throughout the last four, even maybe last decade of politics, I would consider to be expert political commentators during the Bush era that just were purely unequipped to even discuss or handle this moment. Jon Stewart's one, and I think the South Park guys, not that I look to them for like advice, but I think they shat the bed in terms of humor and dealing with it. But this movie is like I don't know what it is. It's like a folksy type, like feel good movie about politics type deal, even though it's not like too feel good. It kind of reminds me of, that Sandra Bullock one where she goes overseas a little bit, because a lot of it's based on like the people running the campaign and stuff like that. But it's not funny and it's not entertaining and it's not like the type of politics that is applicable to anyone right now, I don't think.
Yeah, it was a very like, I don't remember a ton of it at this point. I remember like bits and pieces, but it had a very like skewed, weird, like, it was off putting, I believe is what I said, which I do say
a lot. Sport territory.
Yeah. It just wasn't, the timing stunk. Yeah. I did not enjoy that movie. Irresistible number four for Trill. Number four for the audience, Sonic.
Whoa, what?
Wow.
After the Marsden interview, they do this to him. He came back fucking twice and they do this to James. That's fucked up, guys. Come on.
Ken Jack, number three, least favorite movie of 2020.
Oh, it's The Grudge. Started off 2020 with a fucking bang. That should have been the indicator, like, how everything was going to go this year. Because, man, that was a piece of
shit. We did say that. We said that in the first one. We were like, man, what a lot of bad movies. 2020, right? Not great. And, yeah, sure enough.
It fucking really turned out bad. John Cho, man, fucking. Yeah, I think that's what made that movie almost even worse, is the fact that John Cho had done, was it Searching right before that? And Searching was so goddamn good and innovative and cool. And this was just so bad and mishmashy and schlocky horror and just like a pathetic attempt to just grab onto the Grudge name and make some money off of it. It was bad.
It was like, hey, remember The Grudge? It's that, but it's a pile of shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just real bad. It's like it was like we're gonna do all the things you remember, but just not in a good way. Yeah, The Grudge was that's a good pick. Again, not on my list, because that one for me, I hated it so much, but I didn't hate it. And I give it a 2 out of 100. I didn't hate it, I'd say, like, least favorite. I just watched it and disliked it.
It's not memorable.
No,
sucks.
This one might be recency bias. The Midnight Sky, number three for me.
Good pick.
Midnight Sky, I was perplexed by this movie. I didn't know what was, like, I just didn't know what I was watching. It was a movie that really thought it was this big, epic, sweeping thing, and it just simply was not. It had a little bit of hype because we were like, oh, you know, I'd love to see I would love to see this, you know, it's a George Clooney movie, it's got space, but it was nothing. It was a boring nothingness and almost, again, bordered on corny and cheesy, like trying to get its message across. And unlike things like Annihilation or like Lost City of Z, like these big like landscapes and epics that are slow burns, like it It was like trying to be that, and it just was not.
Those are like innovative and had something to offer, at least. Like, this had nothing. It had no cool core concept. It just, that was what a bore that movie was.
Slog.
Definition of a whiff. Midnight Sky, Trill number three.
Number three for me, it's the movie called Artemis Fowl.
Ah, yeah, the fart, baby.
The feeble attempt to launch a new YA movie series or whatever. It was just awful. Awful, awful. One of the worst intros to a movie as well. A horrible intro. Poor Josh Gad.
Poor Dame Judi Dench, man.
Oh, Dame Judi Dench.
Can I get another look at Judy?
Well, we're the elves, and you need to go do this, Josh Gad.
She fucking mailed that one in, man. They hauled her carcass all around.
So high off this Artemis Fowl shit.
Audience number three is New Mutants. Number two, enough, Ken, man. Jack. Least favorite, 2020.
My number two is what I think is going to be someone else's number one. It's The Wrong Missy. An unbearably bad movie. Unbearably bad. The Hellstar scene is maybe the most, like the roller coaster of emotion I went through, from being uncomfortable at first to just irrationally angry that made it to the final cut, was so fucking sharp. It was unreal. That movie was waste. Absolute waste.
Biting my tongue. Number two for me is Bobbleheads the Movie, which is that one transcends the really, really bad, unmemorable, but just so bad. I was seething with anger when I watched that movie. The Cher thing is still baffling to me. It's unfortunate that that's a movie like I can't, like, I wouldn't talk about that movie with somebody who like isn't a big movie person. Not like, if that sounds snobby, don't take it. I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, yeah, it's Bobbleheads. And like, but like, I wish I could talk about that with everybody, because it's so uninteresting. There's no barrier of entry where it's like, listen to me, like, let me hold your attention on this movie. It's just uninteresting. But I wish everyone in the world could watch this movie. But it's unfortunately such a pile of shit, no one will. But I wish everyone understood what we watched with Bobbleheads. It was that stunningly bad.
It should come preloaded on new iPhones.
Yes, please. Yes. Like, yes. It's a movie you would, like, I could actually maybe convince somebody to watch Money Plane. But also Money Plane, like, it sucks ass, dude, but it's funny.
It was a Netflix movie. It was so, the barrier of entry is so low.
Maybe that's the wrong movie, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not a so bad, it's good that I could convince somebody. I guess that's a better way to say it without sounding snobby. It's just, I wish people would watch. It's that fucking terrible. Ugh, bobbleheads. Trill number three.
I love when the Cher bobblehead got up and sung the song that she sings.
That everyone, it was so memorable, dude.
Couldn't even get her to like sing an earworm. I also have bobbleheads number two. It's quite amazing, actually, what they're able to not accomplish with bobbleheads.
No, I'll just get out of the way. It's my number one too. So we as well just talk a little more about it.
Yeah, we just to fill 90 minutes with what they filled, like what they made the decision to fill into that space and time, and eventually release it as a movie for people to watch. The fact that it got made in totality, from conception to having Cher come in and do the voice part, is pretty impressive, because it's at no point would anyone with any mind watch that and think that this is something that we need to release.
There are so many like inexplicable aspects of that movie. I think chief among them being that the director is the same guy that did like fucking Little Mermaid. He did like Hunchback of Notre Dame and like he did another big one. I can't remember. Like, this very, very storied, great director goes and does this piece of shit that had absolutely no right being made. It's a bobbleheads movie, dude. No one likes bobbleheads like that. No, there's no market for this.
But here's the thing. You could theoretically entertain a bobbleheads movie where they're somehow able to secure a lot of licensing rights, and you have a Wreck-It Ralph type situation, like, right, with like Zangief and Sonic and all the other video game characters. You have a bunch of bobbleheads, and a lot of you coasting on the movie is just references to things you know. I could see, I mean, that wouldn't be a good movie, but I could see them making, I could understand a pitch for that. We're going to release a movie with a bunch of things people know, It's going to be kind of like Trolls. It's going to be kind of like the Funko Pop movie. It's going to be kind of like Wreck-It Ralph. That's all it's going to be. But they didn't even do that. They just did five bobbleheads in a movie. And the only justification for making this movie is to really just bobbleheads are a thing that have been around for quite a while, haven't they? And there just hasn't been a movie about these bobbleheads. And
Cher owed somebody a favor.
Yeah. And then you also bring Luke Wilson. I know we're talking a lot about Cher, but the fact that Luke Wilson hopped on this track is he must have been doing a favor. Like, he could be, I mean, realistically, he could not have paid them that much, right?
To be fair, he was the dad and only had like five or six lines before he exited the movie for the rest of the fucking track.
No, I thought he played the redneck guy.
What? No, I thought he was the dad.
What was he, Jeff?
Oh, we got to look. I thought he played the redneck too.
I thought he played the redneck.
I thought he played the redneck.
I thought he was the little girl's or the I guess the sister's dad.
No, that was Bobcat Goldthwait.
He played Earl. Earl was the
redneck. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he was the yeah. All
they right. wouldn't make this bobbleheads movie and not have the redneck named Earl.
I'm just looking at Luke Wilson's filmography now. It's his only direct-to-video role. That's tough, Luke.
But theoretically, how much do you think Luke Wilson was comped for this movie? You couldn't have been more than 25K.
Max.
They spent all the money on Cher.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Cher getting like $125,000 for this movie.
Cher did like one of those Star Wars deals where she got like merchandising rights on. She's like, yeah, if we make a lot of money off this, I'm going to be a trillionaire.
Well, you know, I did read this article.
your impression of Cher.
It's just Elvis.
it sounds a solid amount. Oddly, like an impression of our ad ops guy. He does many other things. Steve Che, who works for Barstool, which I now realize is a decent Steve Che, but a solid Cher.
I thought it sounded more like Elvis the more I got into it.
I was reading this thing about like with COVID, like don't be surprised if you see more actors doing shit like this just to get money, just to get paychecks.
Like Anne Hathaway doing whatever that movie's called.
Well, but also like, have you noticed more and more actors are doing like George Clooney's been doing the Nespresso commercials for a while, but like Brie Larson being in that Nissan commercial was genuinely shocking to me.
Yeah.
And so I think, and she's also in a Nintendo Switch commercial, and then Anna Kendrick did like a Lay's holiday commercial where she sung. Like, I think more and more actors and actresses will be doing commercials and these types of things just to make up for the work they could not have done this year. And so these types of things, you know, if you could do, you lend your voice out and you do it over digital or whatever, and it takes a few minutes, you make a lot of money. Shit, I would do what Luke Wilson did too. I just don't know how much he made for this.
Did you see that cocoa butter commercial starring Dennis Franz? That one is my favorite.
Fuck you. You had me going there for a second.
Bobbleheads for Trail Audience, Wonder Woman 1984, number two.
Nah.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised. I'm actually surprised on number one.
I mean, favorite, you can count disappointment towards being least favorite. Yeah. Versus worst. But
with this type of list, it's always going to default to the movies that people have seen the most and are not. You know what I'm saying? It's just a game of numbers at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Kenjack.
I could see somebody having Rebecca on their list, but not enough of our audience probably saw Rebecca to register.
Also true. Man, that Kenjack,
you had bobbleheads number one?
Yep.
Yeah, mine number one is that big stinky fucking 0 out of 100 fart the wrong Missy. What a piece of shit. Oh my God, that makes me so. That was the angriest I've been. And I get shit, like not serious shit. People kind of give me a hard time. They're like, oh, it's not as bad as the wrong Missy was better than this. Or like, I don't know. I hate that movie. I hate it. I absolutely despise that movie. That free vacation for fucking David Spade. He went on vacation. He filmed a stupid, crappy movie. The Lauren Lapkus character, like, no offense to her, that was an annoying, terrible character. It was a loud, obnoxious movie with the boss who I thought was Craig T. Nelson the entire time.
Oh yeah,
that was the biggest bummer of the movie. And I realized it wasn't Craig T. Nelson. Yeah, that movie can fuck off. Easily my least favorite movie of the year, and it ruined me for a whole day. I thought about that movie; it bothered me. Hellstar, God, that's so annoying. That and that was that felt like Hellstar felt like a middle finger. It was like them going, let's tell them to fuck off while they're watching this. Like they're buying into the slop. They're watching this movie. We're going to tell them to fuck off as we get a free vacation. I hate The Wrong Missy. Stupid, no real message. It's like it's stupid message it tried to say.
The switch flip for Laura Lupkus being so fucking annoying. So fucking annoying to you want supposed to be like feel bad for her with like no, there was no fucking lead up. There's no preamble for it. There was no call. Oh.
She brought a machete onto the fucking plane.
she becomes charming all of a sudden, which is like a huge credit to her.
Switch of a flip. Or switch of a flip. Flip of a switch, whatever.
That's my number one. Troll number one.
Number one for me is super intelligence. There was everything about this movie from like the whole like AI thing to the thing that pissed me off about it the most was just the being hired or interviewed by a tech company and making that a big part of the movie. It seemed like something that came out in 2014. And then on top of that, it just was not, it was a comedy movie, but it wasn't funny. Was not a funny movie.
Not in the least bit.
No, not a funny movie that they
James
made.
Corden. What a decision.
What do you think he's up to?
Fucking probably make another 10
He said
movies.
He's going to move back overseas. He's going to move back to England.
Yeah.
His contract's up, he's going to be done.
Is he done with the U.S.? Is he just throwing in the towel here saying he couldn't break through the next level, you think?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, they didn't give me the Tonight Show.
Dude, he could be the new fucking Mr. Bean, no problem.
Mr. Beans.
Plural.
Mr. Beans.
Mr. Toast.
Oh, boy. Audience number one was Artemis Fowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Also, like, special shout out to Rebecca, which I didn't put on the list because it wasn't, I don't know. That movie was so dull. That may be the dullest movie of the year. Just boring.
No, it was so like, I don't know how to explain it. I think dull is just the best term. That was nothingness, pure nothingness.
And I didn't see it, but what was another one that people hated was Anne Hathaway was in The Witches, but she also was in that movie with Ben Affleck.
The Netflix one about her. It was like her as a war journalist. I think it was Iran-Contra. Yeah, that one was really bad.
Yeah.
I should have actually included that on mine, but again, no memorable moments to that whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the problem, is they had to be bad and they had to be memorable, because if they're not memorable, then they're not that bad.
My only exception to that was The Grudge, and that's only because I remember how much I hated it in the beginning of the year, and that to me is like a marker. But like the movie itself, like there's no like, I can't pick out scenes from The Grudge where I'm like, that is what made this movie so bad, you know what I mean? Like The Wrong Missy has a trillion of those. But like, there's just, I don't know, man, just that feeling in the beginning of the year of how bad it was is what's memorable to me.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Some bad movies in 2020, but also a few good movies too, which I suspect at some point we'll talk about.
We will talk about the good movies. We just got to finish watching them all. Apparently News of the World is really good. So I don't really want to do any best of lists until we see that. I've been told by multiple people they really enjoyed that movie.
I got to catch up. I got to see the KJ Apa movie where he plays the Christian rocker Jeremy King.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get that one?
I still believe.
I still believe. Yeah. I want to make sure that's on my list.
Why?
I want to see all the movies to be able to rank them. And I just haven't seen that one. So I feel, who knows?
Anyway, that's it, I think. That's it. Glad to have you back, Trill. We'll figure out what we're going to review, either Freaky or we'll do another round. We'll do another round. And another round.
You should. It's a fun one.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable movie. It's a little something different. We don't often do these. You have to rent it. You got to rent it. You can rent it on YouTube. Is the best. Whoa, just saying you can't rent it? Hold on. this might be a very quick change of plans. Maybe it's under the wrong. Now, here you go. Another round, you can rent it. $7 to rent it. Mads Mikkelsen, I gave it an 88 out of 100. Kendrick, would you give it again?
I think I only have it in the most recent one, but I have it high. I think maybe 89, 90. I liked it a lot.
We got a refresh tonight of the website. Some big stuff coming to the website. I know I've been saying that, but we finally, behind the scenes things I can't talk about, but we do have some cool things on the horizon for that. We've been starting to work some things in the back end there. So very excited for that website. Keep pumping it. Send it to everyone you know. Also, I'm going to have an update next week. I'm getting this a lot. The Lunchbox Saga. Major update next week.
Did you get it?
Major. I do not have it.
But they shipped
major
it.
Update.
Is there drama with the creators? They split? Did someone take like...
It's just one guy. It's one guy fleecing me. But major update next week. I know many people are curious about the Lunchbox. So,
I got to know right now. I'm just kidding. We'll save it for next week.
That's it. For Ken, Jack, and Trom, Jeff Lowe, we will talk to you on... Oh, in like 2 days. Yeah, the next pod comes out in like 2 days. So, yeah, talk to you soon.
Have a good week at the box office, folks. Somebody.
Maybe.